And more of that coming up in a minute. But as promised, we're joined right now by a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. He is the front of the program. He is Terez Paylor. Terez, what's going on? Welcome back. How are you?
Pip in the box. How's it going? Thanks for having me on again.
Always good to have you on, dude. Thanks so much. Listen, before we get into the Super Bowl matchup and the piece that you've got up right now on Yahoo about Mahomes and Brady, let me start with the NFC Championship game. You've had some time to think on this now. What was your reaction in real time when Matt LaFleur decided to kick that field goal down 8 with just over 2 minutes to go?
I didn't like it then, mainly because you have the MVP and the GOAT is on the other sideline. And it's easy to Monday morning quarterback that thing, and I know a lot of people do that. I typically don't do that, okay? But you ask me, and I'll tell you, I think in that situation, you're at home, you've got the MVP, I'd rather go out on my shield with Aaron Rodgers. I'd rather, and I get it. You're showing faith in your defense, right? But Tampa's offense is very good. And this is Tom Brady just needing to convert the first down or, you know, maintain a drive. He can do that, and I would rather put my fate in Aaron Rodgers' hands than Tom Brady's hands.
We're talking to Terez Paylor. I agree with you, and I agree with you when you say that it's easy to Monday morning quarterback this thing. I would also add to that, it's easy to Sunday afternoon quarterback that thing, because that seemed like a terrible idea then, and it does now. Now, what do you think was going through Aaron Rodgers' mind when he saw Mason Crosby and the kicking team come out?
I'm sure he was upset. I'm sure he wanted to go for it. Like, they could have gotten that. And I will say this, you know, I've analyzed that game. I broke it down. Like, hey, you know, Tampa's rush was for real in this game. Like, I thought their defensive front played really well. So it's not like they played poorly. Yes, Green Bay got some scores, some big plays on them. And I get it. Like, hey, you know, Tampa's defense is good. But I trust Aaron Rodgers in that situation. Let's go for it. Let's try to make it happen. And by the way, if you don't get it, you still got them back up at the 9-yard line. And you still need to get the football back. So, I mean, I get it. But you would have needed to score a touchdown anyway to win the game. So, I think it would have made a lot more sense to let Aaron Rodgers control your fate.
Terez Paylor joining us. All right, so what about fate? What about Aaron Rodgers? Like, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you saw the way that played out and the fact that the team used that first-round pick on a quarterback in 2020, and then you see how things went for Tom Brady in his first year with a new team, if you're Aaron Rodgers, are you looking for an opportunity somewhere else now?
I definitely think it's intriguing because football wisdom generally states that if you take a first-round quarterback, you can sit him the first year. But the second year, he's got to start playing because you got to know what he is by the end of that third year so you can make a decision on the fifth-year option. This is what the Chiefs did with Mahomes in 2017. After Alex Smith had a really strong season, like they traded him. But, sooner rather than later, you want to start seeing what you have in Jordan Love because what if he gets hurt this year? And what if he gets hurt next year? Then all of a sudden, you got to make a decision on that option on a very valuable position on a commodity, a first-round pick, without really knowing what you've got. So that said, knowing that that's how football wisdom goes, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm like, hey, you guys brought him in. Probably got to play him now, okay? Meanwhile, I'm going to California. And I don't think it's a coincidence that that has become a storyline after this game. I did notice in his press conferences over the last few weeks, over the last month or so, he's been very serene in his interviews and not nearly as on edge, which I thought was interesting, and I couldn't really place it until I heard his comments after the game. If I'm the Los Angeles Rams, I am running to the table to get this guy. If I'm the San Francisco 49ers, I am running to the table to get this guy because both those teams offer a very similar offense to the one he just operated with stunning efficiency to win the MVP. We don't know that he's won it, but we do, right? I would run to do that if I'm San Francisco or if I'm Los Angeles. And, you know, those two quarterbacks they have are fine. Garoppolo more than Goff, for sure. But if I could do that, if I were those teams, that's an upgrade that would make both of them immediate Super Bowl contenders.
No doubt. Terez Paylor is joining us. All right, so let me ask you about this. If we switch over to the AFC Championship game, Bills got off to that really good start. They get a field goal, then they followed out with a 3-and-out, then that fumbled punt, which they cash into a touchdown. What do you make of how Kansas City, though, kept Mecole Hardman engaged in the offense after the fumble?
Well, I love it, and it's an indication of why players love Andy Reid, because when you make a mistake, if he trusts you, he'll give you a chance to prove him right. And they called things. They called these plays for that guy to get into the mix and get into the swing of things because they're going to need him, right? Sammy Watkins, I know we've got 2 weeks. We'll see. But, like, even if Watkins plays, they're still going to need Mecole Hardman. And he's got a lot of juice, doesn't he, with the ball in his hands? And he's also their primary returner. So, right, Jim? Like, you want this guy in a right middle space. And I thought it was very good. They didn't just hand him the football on the end of round, which was unbelievably designed. I actually tracked this, Jim. The first offensive lineman, it was Fisher and the left guard. I don't think they had to touch anybody until they were 35 yards downfield. That's how well-schemed that was. But it wasn't just that. It was getting him a touchdown catch, too, to help him make up for the fact he gave up a touchdown, basically. So it's a really good indication of like why players feel so much trust in this coaching staff, why they're so comfortable in Kansas City, because they know, you know, if the staff trusts you, they're going to give you every opportunity to make it right.
We're talking to Terrez Paylor. Well said. Like, the play design is just a thing of beauty over and over and over again. And the guy's got so much juice. I mean, I have so much respect for the way, not only that they went right back to him, but the way he responded to a big mistake on a big stage. Like, it didn't even happen. And the guy's out there just making plays. What about Patrick Mahomes? I mean, considering this guy was in concussion protocol last week and he's dealing with a toe injury, how did he look to you yesterday?
Look, as Eric Bieniemy would say, you know, Pat looked like Pat. You know, I kept a close eye on this, right, throughout the course of the game. And multiple times as I was taking my notes and reviewing this game, I'm like, Mahomes' elusiveness, Mahomes' elusiveness, Mahomes' elusiveness. He was avoiding the rush. And some of it was on straight four-man pressures. Some of it was on blitz. They didn't really start trying to heat him up into the second half, which I understand. I actually don't have an issue with the Bills' defensive strategy. Like, I think Leslie Frazier did a good job. It's just that Mahomes looked like Mahomes despite the toe, despite the head neck injury, right? Like, Mahomes was incredible. He repeatedly evaded pressure. He repeatedly threw strikes to make them pay. And I just don't know what you're supposed to do if you're a defense. Actually, I do know. You know, you pray, you hope that they don't execute well. But you also, honestly, you know, you do what the Bills did. And, like, you're playing a lot of soft zone. You're playing a lot of zone coverage, and you're rushing four, and you know they're going to light you up between the 20s, but you hope that you can out-execute them in the red zone and force some field goals. Like, that plan is sound, but the problem is the Chiefs are going to score 31 points. You got to score 35 to beat these guys. Like, you just have to. And to that degree, the failure of the game was kind of on the Buffs, on the Bills' offense, because Steve Spagnuolo was in his bag, Jim. Four sacks, 10 quarterback hurries. Josh Allen, a guy who, trust me, had shown the ability to really handle the blitz. He was not a guy over the last 3 or 4 months of the season that you really wanted to blitz. And Spagnuolo didn't care. He dialed it up from everywhere, second level, third level. And Josh handled it okay, but he didn't handle it well enough to put the amount of points on the board that they needed. And I still really like Josh Allen. I think he's going to be a great player. I think he is a great player. I think he's going to win MVP one day. But that's going to have to be a lesson for these guys, that if you're going to beat Kansas City with the guy they've got over there, the truly elite, in his prime, peak of his powers quarterback, your guy has to execute that way too. And he needs help. Way too many drops by the Bills as well.
Yeah, he does need help. They're going to need some more weapons, but I trusted the organization and the guys calling the shots, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, they're going to get him the help he needs. But you're right. I mean, they got to go to school on that. And the other thing is, what's really scary about Kansas City, you know what you're going to get offensively, but defensively, when they show up the way they did and they make things difficult on the quarterback the way they did, they're almost impossible to beat. Now, you look ahead a couple of weeks, you've got Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, or as you've billed it, Brady, Mahomes 5, winner takes all. Lay that out for me. What do you mean by that?
Okay. So we know that Tom Brady is the GOAT, right? Like, all these Super Bowls he's been to, all these conference championship games, 6 rings. But I basically call it a delayed legacy game, whereas in 20 years, we might look at this as the tiebreaker. We might look at this game as the tiebreaker between who was the greatest quarterback of all times, Mahomes or Brady. And I know there's a big difference in age here, so it's not like, you know, Allie Liston. It's not like these guys in their absolute prime, you know, Frazier, Ali. It's not like that, right? But it is still a kind of a baton passing game in a sense. So put it this way, if Patrick Mahomes wins this game, he'll have two Super Bowls to Brady's six. Let's say Mahomes plays 10 to 15 more years, which I think he will because he really loves football, right? I'd seem pretty good that he might be able to get four in 15 years with how good he is and how – at least there's a chance of it, right, with how good he is and the organization around him. Now, what happens, though, if Tom Brady wins his seventh and keeps Mahomes from getting one here? Now, Mahomes has to get six in those 10 to 15 years. And look, Mahomes is so great, you can't say it can't happen, but it makes the task harder. So in a lot of ways, I feel like this is like a legacy tipping point game, even though we won't know the results of it for a couple decades, right? So that's why I'm laying it out that way. Plus, there's one more really awesome thing about it. I think Brady saw Mahomes coming. That's why in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago, he sought him out in the locker room to kind of co-sign on him. I thought that was a big deal, and this was awesome too. This is their fifth matchup. It's 2-2, man. And this might be the last time Brady and Mahomes face each other. Brady's 43 years old. The Chiefs and Bucks aren't scheduled to face each other next year. This might be it. So on so many different levels, this is a great game for football, for football historians, and for even casual fans, because everybody can grasp the enormity of this game. And one more thing, Jim, I know I'm rambling, but I'm excited. One more thing. The Chiefs are going for history, too, because when you win back-to-back titles, that puts you in a completely different stratosphere than other Super Bowl champions. Think of the America's Game NFL Films documentary, right? Well, the last two Super Bowl champions who went back-to-back, it's no coincidence that those were the highest ranked of those dynasties. So I'm talking about the 04 Patriots were the highest ranked America's Game team. I think they were 12th or something. And the 98 Broncos were the highest ranked America's Game team, higher than their 97 champion. And here's one other thing. Think about the 96 Packers, right? They won the Super Bowl, one of the greater teams we don't talk about anymore. I think their legacy was hurt just a touch by losing to the Broncos in 97 and not repeating. And by the way, the 04 Patriots and the 1998 Broncos, guess what their record was? 14-2, just like this Chiefs team. They got a chance to go for history here, and it's going to be awesome to see if they can do it.
It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be a big 2 weeks, too, building up to it. He is a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, and we consider him a very good friend of the program. He is Therese Paylor. My man, great to have you back. Thank you so much. Have a great couple of weeks, and I know we'll do it again soon.
You got that right. Appreciate it, Jim.
Take care, brother. Therese Paylor, one of my favorites.